Toward the end of the Lenten season, I found a piece of poetry by someone named Lynn Ungar. I've never heard of this poet, but the lines were about the season of Lent and kind of how we go through that and navigate it. And the poet said this in this piece of poetry: "What will you give up for this season to help life along in its curious reversals? Forget sacrifice. Nothing is tied so firmly that the wind won't tear it from us at last. The question is how to remain faithful to all the impossible, necessary resurrections." And so here we are beginning the Easter season, which is not a day in the Episcopal Church. It is a season of the year. And it is a time when we begin to see how we will live out those impossible, necessary resurrections to transform our lives. The resurrections are necessary for us because we are made to live into the eternal image of God. They are impossible because we are human beings riven by fear and free will. Lent is past and we are into the Easter season, away from the time of artificially enforced discipline. We are past Easter Sunday, which is known by some of my priest colleagues as Alumni Weekend. And now we are kind of into more of the everyday patterns of life. We're past Easter, but we've celebrated resurrection. So will we just see it as the ho-hum of another Easter gone by? Or is it something that we will allow to change us, to transform us, to alter our way of seeing the world and our way of ordering our priorities? This is the time to deal with this idea of impossible, necessary resurrections daily. And here we are, this one Sunday past Easter, and the story we hear is the story of Thomas. We may think of Thomas as the first person who struggled outwardly with the idea of reconciling himself to the impossible, necessary resurrections that are part of living with the risen Christ. There is some Thomas in each of us. We all struggle to remember when the more conspicuous and tangible evidence is no longer available. We struggle to remember that Jesus is risen and that that should change our lives. Poor old Thomas, the word everyone associates with him is doubting. Even people who don't do church at all, who don't know anything about Scripture, know the phrase doubting Thomas. And it's interesting because, at least to my mind, in this passage, he didn't fail to trust God. He hadn't seen and heard the evidence that the others had had, or had heard and seen. He hadn't had the evidence that they had had, so of course he didn't believe quite as they did. The ones he turned out to doubt were his friends. His friends said, "Jesus is risen," and he said, "I don't believe it." So he is doubting his friends, not God so much. But we need to cut him a little bit of slack. Peter and the beloved disciple saw the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene heard her name called. Thomas had not seen or touched or smelled Jesus as all the others had, and he had not heard the words, and he didn't believe them when they said he had risen. In our time, can we blame others for rejecting what they see as an inconsistent faith, for not trusting what we say about Jesus? Can we blame them for rejecting this stance of proclaiming the risen Christ and then living a way that has nothing to do with Jesus? Fear and faithlessness can make those necessary resurrections truly impossible. But all of us are inconstant in our faith. We have to rely on each other anyway, to learn from each other, to draw courage from each other, to remain faithful to all the impossible, necessary resurrections of the Christian life. We are fortunate in that the church decided very early on that the value of the message of Christ is not tainted or lost by the faithlessness of the messenger. There was an early debate in the very first years of the church in which the church, institutional church, decided that the sacraments are valid even if the priest has been faithless. I find that very comforting. I'm sure you do. But there were times in the early church when some of the clergy didn't stand up for their faith. And the question was, when they came back into the fold, could they present the sacraments to others? And the church said, yes, the sacraments are God's. They're not ours. And so this message that we carry is God's. It's not ours. So how do we try to show the Thomases among us and within us that this story can be trusted? How do we know and show that Jesus is risen and living among us? What are the opportunities we face for those countless, impossible, necessary resurrections? We have to do our best. Sometimes it isn't very good. But we have to do our best to be faithful, loving human beings all year long. It's not enough to speak about resurrection and have a big Easter celebration and then not have any effect, let that have any effect on us the rest of the year. We must be faithful, loving human beings to win over those who doubt not God, but our version of God. So we keep coming here to practice. We help each other remain faithful. We try to learn, as hard as it is, we try to learn to die to self, to our agendas and priorities, and give to others, giving up something of ourselves. Those are all part of this idea of impossible, necessary resurrections. We can't stay focused completely on our own priorities and live the way the risen Christ calls us to live. What does that mean in practical terms? It means we hold fewer grudges. We have less resentment because these are our choices. These are not things we're victimized by. These are our choices. We choose to have less resentment over wrongs that have been done to us or imagined by us. There is a wonderful quote to the effect that harboring resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. We could have more depth in our lives. We could forgive ourselves. We could forgive other people. And I don't know about you, but my first response is, I don't want to. I'm sorry. I just don't want to. I get too much energy out of some of these things that I hold against other people. I'm trying. I don't want to let go of my irritation. I don't really mind, and I'm working on forgiving wrongs that have been done to me. But if a person has wronged someone I love, I have much more trouble forgiving. I don't want to admit that the people I see as them might have good ideas, or at the very least are also, like me, the beloved of God. I don't want to give up my right to fill in the blank so that we can have less trouble and more peace. I want to do both. I want to have my stuff, my concerns, my priorities, and be a Christian. Necessary and impossible resurrections. I want to have the courage, though, to hear when God asks us to cling to something eternal instead of something that the wind can tear from us. I want to have the courage to help life along in its curious reversals, as the poet said. The question is how to remain faithful to all the impossible necessary resurrections. We come here to help us remind each other how to do this, how to have the courage to be better, to remind each other that even when we intend for the door to be closed and locked, as the disciples did, Jesus will come to us. We come together to help one another be strong in faith and hope and love. We come together to have the courage to remain faithful to all the impossible, necessary resurrections. Amen.